And then I tell him I had somebody else to do the job.
And he said, so if you want to do some other kind of service, come on down. I'm sure we'll have something for you. And I immediately called my sponsor and I told her what I did. And knowing the kind of person that I am, she says, Deb, I suggest one thing. And I said, what? She said, next time you make a move like that, won't you pray first? Real simple stuff. Because all that was me. You know, and I really didn't want to let go. I felt real vulnerable, right? Because when I was going through this process of my mother dying and being at the hospital and watching her, you know, and still trying to have some control and not let go, you know, because a lot of decisions came with this. You know, the cancer has spread it. She has COPD. And I'm just watching her body just transform. And I'm trying anything that I could do to try to help her save her life, and it wasn't my will. I'm talking about the disease came to me so heavy that, like, right, I can remember one night, right, my mother refused to eat or drink, and me getting a straw. Yeah, a straw. Sucking up the water, trying to put it in her mouth. And after she passed, I had to look at that. What was I doing? I'm talking about, like, getting in the way. Priceless. The gift of being priceless. The gift of being free. And my self-centeredness. Don't leave me, Mom. Not like that. We got some more things we could try. I'm not really wanting to let go. Letting go. Going in the room sharing every night. Every night I went to a meeting. And I shared about it. Because I want to give you guys the hope. You know why I really stand up here now? Because I know how to give it to you better than I know how to give it to myself. That's the area I really struggle about. This is what the hit's really about. Always being there for somebody else and not knowing how to be there for myself. And really, not even knowing how to allow you to help me because I stand in my own way. So they bring me all the way down here to Maryland to talk about me. And how I let this disease stand in my way. And how I back myself up in corners that when I come out, it comes out all over the place. So we got through this thing of my mother dying, and I got the call, and I was relieved. Because one thing I knew is that if I could get through this, then I have some experience to tell somebody else and show somebody else how they could get through it too. I knew that. But some things I didn't know is about the mourning process. Like after she died and going through all those feelings and still walking in the meeting with my hands up, raising my hand, sharing about how I'm going through it, but not really, really understanding how deep it was. I was doing those things because that's what I do. I go to meetings, I share. We walk through the fear. But when that thing hit me, or when that thing still hits me, man, oh, man. Some days, man, I just don't know what to do. And when I say I don't know what to do, I don't know how to ask for the help that I need to get through the grieving process. And I heard my sponsor when she gave me the book, The Journey Continues. And I heard her when she said, Deb, you're going to have good days and bad days. And I heard all that, but right now I got a sponsor. We got things to do. We got to bury Mom. Got Dad home. I'm the only child. Dad been married to Mom 51 years. I ain't got no time to break down now. Not now. Somebody got to take care of Dad. That's the promise I made to Mom. Don't worry, I get him. I got him. The funny thing happened on the way to recovery. I came in here and I raised my hand about doing service. I wanted to get involved. But how about when you don't have no choice but to get involved and is at home? How good are you at it then? Or how willing are you? When my mom died, my dad was 79 years old. And he just turned 80 April 10th. He has a lot of fear. He's from the old school. He worries more about his money than anything. We count his money over and over again. Let me tell you a quick story, just so I can relax. I told you I've been laid off since October, right? So I don't have no health insurance. So all my friends said, well, why you don't go down to the state? Why you don't apply and get some assistance before you can have some medical? I said, if they know how much money of my dad's that I'm holding, they'll think my whole family is crazy. Because all his money is in my name. He can watch it better if it's mine. Don't spend it. Just put it in your name and hold it. Because he got that old money. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, he won't even enjoy life. Listen to me talk about him not even enjoying life. And I'm the one talking about the suffering and pain that I'm going through because I don't know how to ask for help in a program that helps you. Like I'm the only thing he has. And I watch him. And I try to take care of him to the best of my ability. And me being a woman and him being a man. Him being old school, me being new school. What? You still got to go to them things every night? You go to the meetings every night? And I said, Dad, we've been doing this for a while now. Like, you don't get it? And he really don't get it. He really don't understand. You know? And I'm not using this as an excuse no more, but I come from one of those places that whatever happened in the house, stay in the house. They don't need to know our business. And what do you be saying to them people when you go down to those meetings? Yeah. And I tell them when I can how I'm struggling with not being able to take care of you with my mother's death. And he's probably better off doing better than I'm doing. A lot of days he makes me think. And he makes me think because he worries about things he shouldn't even worry about, like I said, the money and stuff. And a lot of days he talks about being real tired. And when older people talk about being real tired, yes. And I'm saying, no, we ain't suiting up for another one, are we? Uh-huh. We ain't ready to do this all over again now, are we? And he says stuff like, you understand what I'm talking about. When I die. And I tell him, like, you talk about dying, what are you talking about living? But I don't know how it is to be 80 and lost a woman that you've been with for 52 years. And all the struggles he had to do to get that money that he concentrated on so much. So I did something real different before I came down here to Maryland. He was walking out the door to do something that he seldom does. And I said, I love you, Dad. And he's going down the stairs and he says, I love you too. That was real different. One more thing about my dad. I took him down to New Jersey to visit his sister who just got out, who was in a hospital. And that was different. me driving him all the way down there and driving him all the way back because I didn't want him to drive me. And while I was down there, the only thing I could think about is that, like, you know what? This might be the last time they ever see each other. But I had a lot of gratitude for me having the ability to take him where he needed to go. Some areas I'm real good at, you know, doing for others and being okay with it and taking care of my spirit and feeding myself. And then other areas, I got this grip, man. And when I open up my hand, I find out I'm holding on to nothing. Absolutely nothing. I came in here and I said I want to get better. I got a sponsor that helps me get better. I got people in my network that's there. And the funny thing about people in your network are people you know. Some real serious stuff. The ones that I want to help me are not the ones God wants to help me. And I'm like, I find myself like not getting mad, but trying to figure out or something else I shouldn't be even trying to figure out. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the help where you can get the help. I'm saying that because it's real simple stuff, but man, I make this thing real complicated. And a lot of days I don't know why. I just do. I'm glad I got the opportunity to come down to Maryland. I came down here and I got together with some friends from Virginia that I met down here. Got outside myself for a minute. Got with the sponsor for a minute. Sharing some pain. You can't put no price on this stuff. You really care. How can you ever talk about how sick you are, needing the help, and going to get the help that you need without a price, without a cost, rather, a financial cost? So, I went to the meeting one night, and it was the night after they asked me to come down here and share. And I went to the meeting, and I told them how I didn't want to come down here and share, and how I refused to share. No, I did. I'm not saying that out of, you know, maybe somebody else might get some help from this.
That's right.
How I didn't want to do it. And how, like, even though I come to the meetings every day, I thought I was all right, but I really wasn't. I really wasn't. And now I'm telling you that. Because some way we got to get through this thing, man. We got to get to the other side. Suit up for the next. Help somebody else. Because we each going to get a turn. Recovery is priceless, huh? When my mom died, a lot of things changed in my life. I have a 9-year-old godson that I used to get on a weekly basis. He lives in a different town. His grandparents that he lived with got their own issues. And I don't see him as often as I used to because my dad don't believe in all that. He's like, his grandparents take care of him, he need to be at his grandparents' house. Why is he always up here? Like a whole lot of stuff came to stop when my mom died. And I felt like I was losing somebody else. So, I guess you guys know I got a big thing about losing people, huh? Or people moving on or moving away. I got a good friend of mine that I met about a year ago. Getting ready to move out of state back home. I'm like, damn, where's everybody going? Ain't my business where they going. God is opening new doors. Get familiar, Dad. Get out the way, Dad. Stay in your place, Dad. Find out what you want to do, Dad. Find out what you really, really want to do. Find out what kind of service you could do to make yourself get better. Find out who you really want to be when you decide to grow up. And believe in the people that could help you. Learn to live the steps a little better than you're doing them today. Get a deeper level of self-acceptance. Believe in your purpose. And all that good stuff. Then on a lot of days it's easier said than done. At least just for this addict. So I'm down here, butt naked, trusting in the process, receiving a gift, and then understanding that, like, it really didn't have to be this way. I'm just glad that it is. I don't know. I really don't know what to say. Do I feel better? Yeah. Will things change? Right away. It may seem like I gave you guys a little bit, but I gave myself a lot. So if I could just work on this crying thing. Yeah, but it's all right, but sometimes I get tired of me. But I found out, like, for me, it's like the only way I survive some of my emotions, you know? Like, I don't have to act out in a manner that I physically hit somebody. I try to be careful about, you know, how I present myself, you know, to the newcomers, to the old timers, to whoever. You know, because mental abuse is worse than physical abuse. And we come in here to help each other grow up, not to harm each other. We came here to give each other some hope. Where's the hope shop? Is somebody delivering a message, yelling and screaming at you and swearing? I mean, somebody, you know, I'm not talking about their passion for their program. I'm just talking about their deliverance when they're talking to you on a one-to-one basis or something like that. You know, I did enough stuff to myself. I don't need nobody else doing nothing to me. So I'm another sick and suffering addict, working on getting better each and every day. And with your help, that's happening. Thanks for allowing me to share. too. At this time, we would like to introduce the second speaker, Les from Central Maryland.
Hey, family, I'm an addict named Les. You know, something happening in this room right now. I don't know if you can see it. It's something real spiritual that happens when an addict shares their experience on a delicate topic such as that. Because you move my spirit, right? Can I move this mic up a little bit? I'm kind of tall, man. I don't want to bend over, right?
We're going to hook you up, boss.
Hook me up, boss. Good. Y'all just bear with me for a second.
We're going to put that joint back up in
you
here.
Got it. There you go. Can y'all hear me? But, you know, before I segue into my topic, I always like to take time out to thank God. Right? And I like to thank God for each and every breath that he pumps into this old body, because it sustains life. And I remember when I didn't even have the concept of thinking about the breath of life. Right? Staying committed to the process. This is a deep topic, y'all. You know, so I'm an addict named Les, man, and I got here, man, just like our literature say, out of utter desperation, right? You know, in the end, man, I was doing what we say and what we got in our literature. I had become a derelict, a fancy name for a bum. I was the last one to know it, man. You know, my disease told me it was a good idea to check out of a house with running water. Yeah. Heat, air conditioning, everything. I had a wife, you know. I found out some other stuff later on, but I had a wife and kids, and my disease told me it was a good idea to go out and pursue your drug career. And in the end, man, I ended up in a cardboard box. I'm talking about a cardboard box where newspaper was my best friend. Newspaper blocked the cold off me and kept the heat on me. I was hanging out with people like Ben. Y'all know Michael Jackson's song. Ben, the two of us. Yeah, I was all messed up, man. And it was only until some people kept coming past my box and say, listen, man, when you sick and tired of being sick and tired. See, I didn't understand that. They say, well, when you sick and tired of being sick and tired, we get you some help. So one day the light bulb went off, and I was just hurting, man. I didn't know how to stop. I took the suggestion. See, this program is built on suggestions, y'all, and predecessors. If you're in this room right now and you're a predecessor, man, you've been here 20, 30, whatever the number is, I just want to thank you personally. Because you kept the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous open long enough for a greasy addict like me to get here. I'm talking about a broken spirit. So I got to the treatment center, man. I got here by way of a treatment center. And y'all started teaching me how to live. I left the treatment center and went to a transitional home. I started reading all our literature. I got a blue bag up here, y'all. And anybody who really know me know I'm a segue into some literature in a few minutes. Because I believe in the literature. I don't make no apologies for it. Some folks say, oh, he's just quoting literature, da-da-da. Well, check this out. It's all right to quote the literature as long as you can wrap it up in your experience. It's all right. See, because somewhere I read in this literature, it said we suffer with a disease that expresses itself. I could stop right there. See, because if a disease can express itself less, what makes you think you got control? What really makes you think you control something less? It expresses itself in ways that are antisocial and make detection for treatment and diagnosis difficult. See, that was helping me bind to the process, right? You guys were starting to quote some slogans, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And all I had to do was sit and learn to listen and listen to learn. And as time went on, man, the application came in. I took the suggestion, which if you're in this room and you ain't got a sponsor, get one. Because if not, you're sponsoring a fool. I took the suggestion, got a sponsor. My first sponsor, man, you talking about journey. My first sponsor passed away. We got him home clean. Thank God I had a sponsor with some substance and some integrity. Because he told me before we went home to glory, he said, listen, man, I'm not going to be here through your journey. And I'm going to suggest that you start looking for another sponsor. So my sponsor's here tonight. He's the guy over there with the $1 million smile. I'll let y'all figure that out. And he's been rocking with me ever since. Because early on in this journey, man, you know, I had the wife, the kids, and everything. And when I came out of the treatment center, my disease still was working and told me it was a good idea to go back home. Even after y'all told me not to. So I went back home, and that ordeal lasted maybe 72 hours. See, because I had forgot, man. I had forgot what I left on. See, because before I ended up at Derlick in the box, I was a hell of a dude, y'all. Yeah, I was the one slinging and manipulating and, you know, ripping you off to pay for somebody else's stuff. And in the end, I had to have a boo because that was my comfort zone. I like to say I built her. And when I came home, I remembered that she was still up practicing that. I ain't going to tell her story. But y'all told me to watch out, Les. So I had to leave, man. And it was a hell of a night, though, before I left because I had watched the people in the treatment center, you know. You know, when you get clean, you get a lot of feelings and stuff back. You get emotional, you know. You get real sexy. So I thought to myself that it was going to be a good idea before I left to, you know, put some Barry White on. Yeah. Particularly that song that say, practice what you preach. I was going to go in the closet. I really didn't have a lot of clothes in the closet, y'all, because she had got rid of most of the stuff, except for that smoking jacket. And that smoking jacket really wasn't a smoking jacket. It was a robe from the Holiday Inn that I stole years ago. So I put my robe on and had the Barry White on. I glared on around the corner, you know what I'm saying? Going to practice what I preach. And she came around the corner, man, and she had her Victoria's Secrets on. Lord have mercy. I don't know about you. Victoria's Secrets do something to me, almost like the disease of addiction. And she had them Victoria's Secrets on, man, and she went in the kitchen and told me, hold on. She came back around the corner with a fifth of liquor and two shot glasses and told me to sit down. This ain't going to take long. See, thank God for the predecessors in here. See, we share our experience, strength, and hope. Somewhere I heard that if you hang around a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. And this was my wife, y'all. This was a hard breakup. So I got the divorce, man, and I was a deadbeat dad, you know. I made some amends along the way. Sponsorship, that's what helps you. Started journeying through the steps, man. I thank God for sponsorship. And I got to tell you this, man. Around probably about the 18th month of me being here, and this is where you touched me with your spirit. You know, it's easy to share when everything good. It's real easy. I got that experience. It's a hell of a thing to share when everything going wrong. Because in 2008, man, you know how we talk about we want to help people. I was quoting literature. I was ready to build a new class on recovery. My kids was practicing addicts. And in 2008, my son took a .357 Magnum, stuck it in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. Yeah. I was devastated, man. All the literature I worked on, all the steps in networking, they had nothing to do with the pain that I was feeling. Thank God for the 11th step. They told me one point in your recovery, you're going to be stuck with you and God. Rock my world, man. The predecessors told me, keep coming. I kept coming, but I couldn't hear y'all. I just couldn't hear you. I made it through, and as I was making it through that in 2009, my other son, he was just like me. He decided it was a good idea to start breaking in and breaking out of stuff. Our literature talks about the allergic reaction to the disease of addiction. He went down to Baltimore, Washington Parkway, went down through the trees on a motorcycle, stolen motorcycle. So what I'm trying to tell you is early on in my recovery, I had two closed casket funerals, man. Two closed casket funerals. But here's the good thing. Y'all was with me, man. Y'all told me, let's keep coming and sit down and learn to rock with it. Right around the same time, my mother was stricken with high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, hiatal hernia. I went to a meeting one night. Thank God, man, that I was working in a field that had given me CPR training. I came home, man, my number's on speed dial with my mother. And she called me, man, and all I could hear was mumbling. I broke every law in the world to get to my mother's bedside. Where I was chosen, God chose me to breathe life back into. You talked about the straw. It's a heck of a thing giving your mother CPR and hoping like hell that you're doing something. Dad was stricken with prostate cancer. Here's a man that I'm talking about journeying through the steps. In my fourth step, I found out in the resentment area that I hated him. I had hated him for a long time. I was stuck. You know, hate and resentment is just like cancer, y'all. It spreads. It spreads for years. You don't even know it. Thank God for the steps. Because I found out the only reason why I hated my father is because he left my mother. And that wasn't none of my business in the first place. But his prostate cancer took off and he was really sick. My brothers and sisters didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't have a program in Narcotics Anonymous. They wasn't getting life poured into him. That's what we do. We pour life in each other in here. And I was able to look past the resentment and go over and build a relationship with my father. Both my mother and father are still living today. I'm my mother's primary care provider. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Doctor's appointments, therapist. She just recently had a stroke. She can walk from maybe here to the second row, and then I got a wheeler in the wheelchair. I visit my mother 3 to 4 times out the week. I'm talking about the real stuff you got to do in recovery. A lot of people see me and see, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm happy, joyous, and free because I know who I am today. I know whose I am today. You know, if I can, I'm going to break into a little literature, man. Literature usually helps me stop crying, right? Because it tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? So somewhere in the 11th step, it says, God won't force his goodness on you. But you'll receive it if you ask. See, now, I took that and ran with it the first cycle steps. God was good. He was getting me cars. And, he brought a new woman in my life and all this stuff. Man, I got married and got the house. And look, I started making amends with the kids. Now the kids starting to come over. I really don't want them to come over. I'm talking about being responsible now.
Okay, that's right.
Right? So I got some grandchildren. My son in Florida, he's back in my life. It's all a direct result of staying in the process and being committed. I'm talking about, man, because it felt real. I really wanted to use in some of those situations, y'all. And it wasn't so much as I came to the meeting to share with you guys. Thank God I got a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor, and all of them work steps. We get together once a month, most days, because I got a large network, a diverse network. We're not colorblind. We're colorblind in my network. You know what I mean? We come from all walks of life, and we get it in. We share where we at for real. You know what I mean? And somebody, maybe just somebody, has that experience to get you through. But you know what? It's a lot of things that done happened for me since I woke up. You know, I'm talking about waking up out that nod, y'all. You know, I was running around here today, early today, trying to psych myself up about this meeting because they kind of set me up. I said, they set me up. And they told me it was a 2 o'clock meeting. Why am I sharing at 12 o'clock? But see, I got to be careful because y'all helped me identify the arrogance and ego that could jump out. And I got down to the booth downstairs and she said, well, you're sharing on the topic committed to the processes at 12 o'clock. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve, guys? Are you willing to serve outside of your home group and take this message and carry it to the suffering addict? Because our fifth tradition talks about what the message is. And a lot of times we take that thing with a minimum of concern. Our message is hope and our promise is freedom, right? It said that any addict, it didn't say some.
That's right.
It said that any addict, well, why you can't hug the newcomer? Any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. Our message is hope. And that's what we share. You know, man, I had a lot of stuff on my heart. But listen to you, man, I feel for it. I feel something. You know what I mean? Because right now, when you were talking about passing on, I understand through this process what really happens when you pass on. I'm free for real. You know, it's a heck of a thing, man, running around from year to year to year, locked up in your own little world, not knowing that you got the keys to freedom. Huh? Let me read something. Let me read something. This is for the newcomer, the old time. This is all our new literature. Matter of fact, let me just give a display of what being committed to the process is. Committed to the process is the step working guide. If you're in service, you're going to need one of these, right? The guide to service. You follow what I'm saying? If you don't know nothing else, get a just for the day, right? Some of us walk around here, we call it our gun bag. Sometimes we quote literature, you got double stuff, like the basic text, the green and gold, it works I and Y. You got the concept book. I didn't bring this stuff to kind of, you know, like make fun of you guys, because this stuff right here is my life, man. This is the stuff that I try to apply into my spirit. It makes me a better husband. It makes me a better father. It makes me a better granddad, man. I'm talking about you can no longer run around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and talking about you're powerless over the disease of addiction if you've done a first step. It's because it says we were powerless over our addiction and our life had become unmanageable. So now what's wrong with you, Les? Now, Les, why are you still running around calling yourself a hoe? Why are you still running around calling yourself a dirtball? Why are you still, why? If you're working the steps, then it means that you get some self-worth in your life. You're no longer filled with self-centeredness. You're no longer, listen, somebody told me that fear and faith can't stay in the same place.
There you go.
I beg to differ. That's good fear.
That's right.
And that's bad fear. You don't like the fear that gets you stuck like you want the job, but you don't want to do the work to get the job? You know how we do something, I'm clean, but they won't hire me. Well, do some work. Because that's what my sponsor told me. And as a direct result of that, the family business that I'm in, I'm actually moved up in the family business to a corporate level. Ain't that something? I'm talking about a dirtball greasy addict. That used to be. I'm talking about the day you can do anything, man. And then as my sons, well, I was burying my sons, God did another thing. Now, I don't know. I don't want to offend nobody. I wonder if I use God. See, because our literature talks about higher power, but a lot of times we overlook the fact that God is mentioned a whole lot of times. See, it ain't right here long enough, you bound to find him or her or whatever you want to call. See, my sponsor told me earlier on, he said, listen, man, I don't care if you go to the mosque, the temple, become a Baptist, Catholic, Buddhist monk, I don't care what you do. He said, but listen here, dog. Don't forget to go to the group. The group is the bloodline of the fellowship. We got IPs and sponsorship. And talks about that sponsorship is the heartbeat of this fellowship. How are you going to be in a program and not know what it's about? Huh? First part of the book talks about the preface. It said, the full fruit of the labor love. So check this out. We ain't here tonight I was running around laughing, talking about, you know, with 12 o'clock workshop, that's where the real dope fiends are, right? That's where the people who needed the most help. I don't know about you. I did a whole lot of things at 12 o'clock. Whole lot of things. I wasn't willing to sit up in here and listen to you share some stuff out in that look, man. I got some things to do. Huh? I was what I call original thing to go bump in the night. I was hanging out with people. Yeah, y'all know them people, Adam's family people, man. You know the people that do what they want to do, say what they want to say. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Got people like Lurch in the front door talking about you rang and Morticia in the backseat. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? See, I like to have some fun in recovery, too. But I want to read this piece real quick because I don't want to burn my time, but my sponsor always mindful of me with my time. But check this out. Check this out. This is out of our new literature, right? I love this new literature. I study the new literature. I network with people in the new literature. I also highlight, but then again, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Because if you can't apply it to your spirit less, it's useless. It's saying recovery is not a standardized cookie cutter process, right? It's on page 5 for some of you literature folk. It's saying we don't all go through the same process in the same way. You feel what I'm saying? It goes on to talk about, but there are some familiar landmarks we pass, right? It says we have phases and stages, corners to turn, staircases to climb. Each of us has a period of intense growth. Wow. Listen, man, if you in here and you think that recovery gonna be peaches and cream, you done gone lost your mind. You're gonna have to do some stuff. You're gonna have to feel some things in here, right? And my sponsor tell me, even my grand sponsor tell me, he said, look, rock with it, but feel what you gotta feel. That sounded real, I didn't understand that. Feel what you gotta feel. Tell you mean I'm hurting, man. But if I'm using the literature like I'm using the literature wrong. You understand what I'm saying? If I'm using the literature to anesthetize or to cover up the feeling, I'm using the literature wrong. They say that literature help ease the pain of life. See, life is going to be life. You just showed back up. You're going to have to learn, man. So what I'm understanding today is, man, that I'm in a life-saving process. Can I read just a little bit more? That's for some of y'all. I mean, you know, hey. It say, having a new way to live means that we have to live in new ways, right? And we can't get confused or lost even when we have many years clean. It says allowing each other room to grow. See, that's what happens. Sometimes I had to check myself because I came in here, I didn't know how to sponsor people. I sponsor people. I used to get emotional because I say, sponsor, man, why don't they want to stay? I don't understand. Getting all caught up. My job as a sponsor is just to guide you. Whatever you do with it after that is on you. And say, confuse the lost even with many years. Allow each other room to grow at their own pace is difficult. Y'all agree? It's difficult. Especially when we care for each other. But self-acceptance and self-respect are the result of going on through the process in our own way. So what I'm talking about is, man, because I only got about 6 minutes. 10 minutes? Okay, good. I got a lot of time. I do a lot of 10 minutes. Listen, man. As I journey through the steps, the 12th step talks about selfless service. And it's a heck of a thing, man, because I remember, see, I got remarried. I got a God-fearing wife, right? She's here tonight, but she's at the room. She got tired. She just couldn't do no more, and I understand and respect that. Even when the little dude on my shoulder said, what the hell you mean I support you? Why don't you come to support me? That's what the little dude say. But I'm in control, not control, but I understand the little dude sometimes. It's kind of like, I don't know, man. See, I ain't going to talk about everybody. I'm talking about me. I got this little dude in me that he show up at the damnedest time. I'm talking about, man, in the middle of whatever. He'll show up and say, you know, you don't need to do that. We can do this. It's kind of like playing with toys in the attic. Right? Yeah, I don't know, some of you guys, you had the G.I. Joes, and you know, your mama might have took the G.I. Joe away from you and said, you need to grow up. You need to ride your bicycle. But see, I was the kind of guy that kept going back looking for G.I. Joe. You understand what I mean? So this little dude sometimes pops up in my life. But what I've learned, man, after journeying through the steps and after working and networking with people, and talking about the 12 techniques in particular, that my life don't belong to me. See, it's easy to serve in the rooms of Not God's Anonymous, but can you serve the bum who might ask you for a dollar right outside? Huh? Can you, you know, like, my job today, along with the morning business, is I work in the field of recovery. I work with the young adults, you know how we mess them up. I'm talking about even though we're in recovery, we thought that they didn't see nothing. You know, like we pressed the invisible button, they didn't see that, and we stuck in denial. And somebody got to work with them. So I work with them, you know what I mean, give them what I can give them, along with the staff and the team, you know what I mean. And it's painful sometimes to see the depth of the disease of addiction today. You're talking about the young folks in here. You ain't seen the young folks that I see. 10 and 9 years old, heroin addicted, and K2 and all this new stuff. Brand new stuff. And a lot of times they don't want to come in here because they think that we're too old, or guess what? Sometimes we forget to hug the newcomer, and it might even be the newcomer, might even be like your son or daughter. It's amazing, man. But in seeing in the spirit today, man, back in, right after my second son died, I got a son in Florida, right? And I didn't know how to build a relationship with him. I watched other men and raising their kids and stuff. And my sponsor came up with a suggestion. He said, write him some letters, Les, with no expectations. That was real deep. Usually, if I write you a letter, you need to respond. As a matter of fact, you need to call me like right now. Try to express something to me. Tell me, let me know you got me. So I wrote the letters for a year, man. A year, man, I got a lot of growth. And then one day I came home from, 11-step also talks about some of us going to do a lot of other things to increase our spiritual growth, right? And one day I came home and my son called me on the phone. See, as a man, when I was in active addiction, I didn't know how to cry, man. I just wasn't nothing funny. I wasn't crying, because if I cried, it was a sign of weakness. My son called me. I was sitting on the front porch, and he said, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" And I said, "Hey, son, how are you?" I said, "I'm glad to hear from you, man." And he went on to tell me, he said, "Dad, I need to apologize." That's what he told me. He needed to apologize. I'm the one who left him. I said, "Nah, son, nah, you don't need to apologize. I really need to make this right. I need to apologize to you, and I love you." He said, "I love you too, Dad, but I just didn't know how to say that until some people gave me a suggestion." He told me that he had to make an amends to me. He started talking our language, y'all. Now, y'all know by this time I'm crying. Snot running up my nose and everything. And he started talking, you know, like this. "I can't go around it over. I got to go through it, Dad." I couldn't even say nothing. But what I'm talking about, even without my help, y'all, my son found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. He's one up. I'm talking about, man, you sit around here long enough, man, you come in here, you ain't got your kids, you do the right thing, you get your kids back. I'm talking about if you come in here, credit score low, I'm talking about sharing some hope now. I came in, didn't have a credit score. I done bought brand new cars off the showroom floor the last couple months. I'm stuck, I'm locked and loaded right now, but yet still, I'm trying to say, can you stand to be blessed? Can you stand to understand what this program is about and help it change and transform and mold your life? So not only just that, I get a whole lot of spiritual awakenings along the way. I got a good friend over there from the Fredericksburger, and I think I shared it down there with them, and I'm going to give it to you guys because I'm going to close and I'm going to stay on town. Back in November, my grandson, man, I got a little grandson at my house, man, I love to death. Only problem is that the daughter came with it. Yeah, somebody said patience and tolerance. And I mean to tell you, man, I battle with this thing, man, sometimes. I try to teach my daughter about the identity crisis side of the bar, and I don't go to the bar. You know the identity crisis side of the bar where the guys or the girls, because, you know, everybody doing what they do now, buy you the drinks to manipulate you. Because I love her, man. So I got this little fella through her at my house, and I love him to death. His name is Israel. I got three other grandkids, and I'm in their life today. My grandson in Pensacola, Florida, won the T-ball championship of Pensacola, Florida last year. How would I know that if this program wasn't here? But Israel, I teach him how to count change. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want nobody to beat him. You know, that's the dope fiend mentality. But I teach him to count change. And one day we was hanging out, me and the grandson, you know, and I fell in love with the local Walmart, y'all. You know how you... You got good. Local Walmart got toys for the children and everything. And, you know, I said, children, I'm old folk. And so I go up there, and this particular day, it was close to his birthday, I decided I'm going to get him a basketball. So I got him the basketball, man, and he was dribbling so good in the Walmart. I had to get him one in the box so he could wait till we got home. I got home, so now I'm the addict who used to live in a cardboard box. Now I got a home with a garage, right? Nice little piece of the rock, comfortable. And so I get the ball home, and he runs pop-up, because I'm pop-up now. See what I'm talking about? I'm pop-up. So I get the ball home, and I take the ball out the box, and I give it to my little man, and he bounces it. And the ball don't bounce back. The ball then sold me a dud up at the Walmart. So now, the little dude I tell about on my shoulder, he said, "Here's some, you know, them damn people, they don't realize this is my grandson's birthday. How dare they sell me a ball that don't bounce?" But then the program kicked in, and I was aware of my surroundings. See, you hang around here long enough, you get awakened, you start understanding your surroundings. I realized I got a home, and I got tools, y'all. I got some tools. You feel what I'm saying? Some tools to help learn for me to live life. And so I go into the toolbox, and I find the needle in the pump. I give my grandson, give him the ball, and I take the ball and start pumping air into it. That's what Narcotics Anonymous did to you. Start pumping a little life into you. And I pulled it out and I gave it. Before I gave it to my grandson, I dribbled, because I still got a couple moves. I'm doing my thing. I gave it to him before. I gave it to him and he started doing his little thing. And he was doing just what Pop-Pop told me to do. That's sponsorship, y'all. Follow the directions of somebody who's been here. Your sponsor. So he was dribbling, man. And so I sat down because, see, spiritual things start happening for me. I start seeing things in the spirit, man. I'm not here to try to get you to follow me. I'm telling you what done happened to me since I've been here. And as I'm sitting down watching my little grandson maneuver the ball, man, every time he bounced the ball, it hit bottom. Sometimes before you be able to get into this, you got to hit real bottom. You can't be coming in here talking about this smorgasbord stuff, talking about, ooh, we is booze for. Maybe, just maybe, you keep on the path that you're on, and you'll understand the gift of desperation. So the ball kept hitting bottom. But each and every time, it bounced back. That's what we do. We bounce back.
Okay.
We bounce back. Follow me now. You with me, right? Some of the miraculous thing was happening before the ball could bounce back. Good God Almighty, excuse me, y'all. The shape changes. A round object, when it hits the bottom, the shape gets oblong. So what I'm trying to tell you is, we in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, stick around here long enough, your shape will change, man. I'm talking about, you can do Anything you want to do, as long as you stay on the spiritual principles of this program, man, like honesty, open-minded, and will. It's like faith, trust, and love. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about it didn't happen for me. I'm talking about I went from, I look back some days, man, and I said, good God Almighty, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you for keeping the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous open long enough for me. So, you know, man, it's been a lot of things that then really, you know, we use words like an intuitive manner. 11-step stuff. Things happen in an intuitive manner. Intuitive means you can't even explain. You just can't even explain. So one thing I found out, and I want to share this with you. There's beauty in long-suffering. Because I'm surprised myself and my network know that every time I talk about that delicate topic with my kids, I usually tear up and can't say nothing. But what I understand today is that won't nothing grow unless it's watered. So as far as their memory, the memory of them has to be shared in order to be able to help somebody. Because somebody in here might be struggling with their children like right now. But here's the hit. They're too afraid to tell you. They're too afraid to reach out and ask for help. So, you know, man, I'm grateful for the CPR, CNA, asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope, man. And all of my network, I got Montgomery County in here, I got D.C., I got the Rappahannock area in here, I got some Philly in here in Baltimore. And I'm talking about staying committed to the process. The journey continues, man. The journey continues. It's not something to take lightly. It's really not something to take lightly. Is that it? Well, I wanted to leave y'all with one thing.
Okay, good. I like her.
Yes, sir. At 1:15? Oh, man. I'm trying to be obedient, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But let's this journey into this living clean. I'm not promoting the book. I'm just trying to share what it's done for me. Right. It talks about in the back of the Living Clean, the journey continues. Don't y'all leave. Y'all gonna like this piece. But it's all right. I understand. Y'all, it's late night. Listen, check this out. This is, I swear I'm going to close after this. It said, living clean, the journey. God, I just love this new stuff, man. It said, living clean, the journey continues. It talks about a spiritual awakening. In case y'all confused. Because I don't never think I've been confused about a spiritual awakening. And then it gives a in-depth what happens when you don't understand a spiritual awakening. And it's on page 219 for those who, you know. But anyway, it says a spiritual awakening is just that, an awakening of the spirit. We still have to get out of bed. Some people awaken just for a moment and doze off again. It said if you want to stay awake and live, if you want the miracle of recovery to continue to unfold in your lives, we find ways to put this awakening into action, service work. I threw that in.
Okay.
It said, here you go. This is one for all of us to go to sleep on. It said, if we're not carrying the message, we go back to sleep again. We go back to sleep again, guys. I don't know what your sleep was. I still remember mine. And it's a place I really don't want to go. I like the references that keeps me here. But I don't want to go back there. So I'm an addict named Les, and I just want to thank you guys for listening.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Hi, I'm an addict named Gina, and I think we have a nice way of closing with the Serenity Prayer. The meeting really goes to 1:15, but you know, you got a choice. Okay, God. grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know.